Pakistan certainly has had a relationship with the Taliban or individuals who constitute some of the Taliban leadership going back over 30 years.
Taliban support. It's Friday, September 17th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online. We're at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, bolstering Asia regional security. India farmers persist. A rare election. It's all on today's VOA Asia. With the United States out of Afghanistan after 20 years, some experts say China and Pakistan are stepping in to provide both immediate support and the prospect of long-term investment for the Taliban acting government in Kabul. VOA senior diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain reports on what this could mean for the region and for U.S. security interests.
Some Afghans are selling their prized possessions to finance their escape from Taliban rule or just to pay for food. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres says the country is facing a humanitarian crisis.
Humanitarian aid will not solve the problem if the economy of Afghanistan collapses. And we know that the risk is enormous and that there is a dramatic lack of cash.
On Monday, the international community pledged more than $1.2 billion for humanitarian and development assistance for Afghanistan. The Taliban's acting foreign minister also called for access to the country's $10 billion in foreign assets, much of which has been frozen in the United States.
We believe that the USA is a big country. They need to have a big heart. Afghanistan is a poor country and must not be treated cruelly. We want positive and inclusive relations with the international community, and we ask them also to stop putting more pressure on the Afghan people.
The U.S. and other Western countries are calling on the Taliban to respect human rights, and in particular, the rights of women and girls, before the assets are released. But China and Pakistan have sent food and health supplies to the Taliban acting government and held meetings with Taliban representatives. Experts say for Pakistan, this support for the Taliban is nothing new.
Pakistan certainly has had a relationship with the Taliban or individuals who constitute some of the Taliban leadership going back over 30 years.
The U.S. State Department is calling on Pakistan to hold the Taliban accountable, as Islamabad had pledged to do.
We are going to continue to look to Pakistan and to other countries in the region make good on their public statements, on commitments they have made, to, in different ways, step up to support the people of Afghanistan.
Another analyst points out that for Pakistan, India is always a factor in the equation.
Pakistan is worried about India. India is its number one enemy. And so it definitely wants a government in Afghanistan that is friendly towards Pakistan and not towards India.
As for China, one expert says the important thing to keep an eye on is long-term investment in Afghanistan.
With regards to China, it's the potential for investment over the long term following the template that it has used on its Belt and Road program in Central Asia. This would typically begin with grants for large-scale road and infrastructure construction. Those have not been announced yet.
Another expert points out that investing in Afghanistan is a risky proposition.
China's being very careful about how it supports Afghanistan and essentially doesn't want to be sinking money into a black hole with no guarantees of either, government survival or any guarantees of, the jihadi groups that China is worried about that the Taliban supports.
Qatar is also providing tons of medical and food aid to Afghanistan and is working to get the Kabul airport back up and running. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
There are so many more facets to this story, and you can find them when you follow us at Twitter at VOA Asia, Facebook, and at our VOAnews.com website. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. U.S. and U.K. to help Australian submarines go nuclear. China reacts with anger. China, U.S. tug-of-war tightens as both try to cement friendships around Asia. China imposes local lockdowns as COVID-19 cases surge. Central Vietnam faces strictest lockdown to date. India approves $3.5 billion plan to boost clean fuel vehicles. Expanded coverage of these stories and so much more can be found when you visit us at Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and at our website, that's voanews.com. VOA Asia continues. Australia has signed a new security partnership with the United States and Britain to share defense technologies in what analysts say is an effort to counter the potential threat from China. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
British officials have stressed that the pact wasn't a response to one country, but analysts believe it's an unmistakable sign of concern about China's military ambitions in the Indo-Pacific region. They've said it's highlighted the strategic importance of the region to both the United States and Britain. The new pact was announced Wednesday during a virtual joint statement President Joe Biden made, along with Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison and British Prime Minister Boris Johnson. President Biden praised the partnership.
We need to be able to address both the current strategic environment in the region and how it may evolve. Because the future of each of our nations, and indeed the world, depends on a free and open Indo-Pacific enduring and flourishing in the decades ahead.
In the joint statement, the leaders said there were several potential issues of concern, including territorial disputes, terrorism, and organized crime. Analysts said the deal was significant because it allows Australia to build nuclear-powered submarines for the first time. The government in Canberra has insisted the submarines would not carry nuclear weapons. The alliance, known by its acronym AUKUS, will also cover artificial intelligence, quantum technologies, and cyber defences. Johnson said the three nations were natural allies. Morrison said the pact would boost regional security.
The future of the Indo-Pacific will impact all our futures. To meet these challenges, to help deliver the security and stability our region needs, we must now take our partnership to a new level. A partnership that seeks to engage, not to exclude, to contribute, not take, and to enable and empower, not to control or coerce. And so, friends, AUKUS is born.
However, Australia's news reports suggest the scrapping of a multi-billion-dollar submarine defence deal with France will cause immense diplomatic tensions between the two nations. The deal, the Australian government says, will be scrapped because of Australia's plans to build nuclear-powered submarines under the AUKUS security pact with the US and Britain. For decades, Australia has sought security with defence and intelligence pacts. Australian officials have said the nuclear-powered submarines would be in service in the mid to late 2030s. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
This news from VOA Asia. Pyongyang said it successfully launched ballistic missiles from a train for the first time after the two Koreas test-fired missiles hours apart Wednesday in dueling displays of military might. You'll find this and all the big stories through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Let's continue with VOA Asia. In the longest-running protest of Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi's government, farmers have been camped around the Indian capital for over 9 months. They are demanding the scrapping of new laws they fear will ruin their livelihoods. Anjana Pasricha visits the protest site to see how and why farmers have braved winter, summer, the pandemic's ferocious second wave, and monsoon rains.
As monsoon rains lash New Delhi, Another temporary structure comes up along this highway, which is now a gigantic protest site for growers from North India. In winter, they huddled in farm tractor trailers. As the scorching summer arrived, they put up structures with fans and coolers. Now the monsoons pose a new challenge. The farmers shrug aside the harsh conditions of life on the road.
In December, when it is bitterly cold, we leave our homes to water fields at night when we are given electricity. In summer, we work under the sun. We sow our land during the monsoons. In any case, a protest can only succeed if you are willing to bear hardships.
These farmers fear that three new laws allowing the sale of farm produce to private companies without the previously guaranteed minimum price will end decades-long government support for some crops and ultimately force them to sell the small plots of land most own. Being a landowner is their only identity.
I am attached to my land in the same way that my nail is joined to my flesh. It is both my mother and father. It is everything to me. If my land does not stay, there's no point in my living any longer.
Prime Minister Narendra Modi has assured them that the laws will help them gain access to new markets and raise incomes. But they are not convinced.
The government says that we do not understand the law. Why don't they explain the benefits to us?
Limited numbers have been allowed to come from heavily barricaded highways to protest outside parliament. Opposition parties have rallied with them. Their warning, until the laws are rolled back, they will not budge from Delhi. So far, however, there is no sign of an end to the longest-running protest against Modi as negotiations remain stalled. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
Now on VOA Asia, an interesting twist to American democracy and voting. California voters have rejected a move to unseat their governor in a recall election. It is a rarely used provision of direct democracy in some 20 U.S. states. Nearly two-thirds of voters had rejected the recall effort. VOA's Mike O'Sullivan reports Governor Gavin Newsom, a Democrat, faced down 46 challengers in an election where Donald Trump became an unseen player.
Democrats urged a no vote on the recall, and Governor Gavin Newsom says the result was an affirmation.
We said yes to science. We said yes to vaccines. We said yes to ending this pandemic.
His leading Republican challenger, conservative radio host Larry Elder, said COVID precautions such as masks and vaccines should be voluntary. This voter disagreed.
COVID is quite real, and we're not done with it yet, and we need to keep with the fight.
Some issues hurt Newsom, including California's high crime rate and rising homelessness.
I've been living in Southern California for 40 years. And this is home for me. And I just think that we need new leadership.
As early voting was underway, President Joe Biden campaigned in California against the recall and against Elder.
He's the clone of Donald Trump. Can you imagine him being governor of this state?
One analyst says, for Democrats, dislike of Trump became a powerful motivator.
I think what the California result proves is that Donald Trump is still toxic to Democrats, and using Trump as a campaign issue will produce lots of Democratic votes.
But as Republicans rallied around Elder, Democrats became worried. Newsom will face the voters again next year in a regular election. And Elder, admitting defeat in the recall vote, said it's not over.
We recognize that we lost the battle, but we are certainly going to win the war.
It will be an uphill fight. Nearly half of California voters are registered as Democrats, fewer than one quarter as Republican. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
That's all the time we have for today's edition of VOA Asia. Continue online. You'll find us at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Thanks for joining us. And thanks to our team, Service Chief Diane Gao, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, Amy Hybels, and Chris Cascao. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a terrific day ahead. Be safe. Be well.